Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio for March. We're through winter, we're on into spring, and things are starting to perk up on the wineries that we know and love. We have two guests today. Sandra Ofield, who absolutely was a knockout winner at Tinhorn Creek in the South Okanagan, and is now co-partnering, of course, with her husband in Elysium Projects. And the second guest is Evan Saunders, the winemaker at Blasted Church, just south of Penticton. Sandra wants us to know about three women who have made the Okanagan better and better and better. Terry Meyer Stone from the Garage East and Mayhem Wines. Severine Pint, the wonderful winemaker from Le Vieux Pin. And Leslie Dandria from Noble Ridge in Okanagan Falls. We're going to talk about women and wine clubs. And Evan Saunders will take us through two reds, a dashing Merlot with about 11% Malbec thrown in is glorious. And a Syrah with Viognier Roussanne in there as well. And we'll also give you a taste of what's coming in the spring from Blasted Church. Here we go. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. Lots of new wines coming, which is a good thing, since they've sold out of everything but a little bit of Dead of the Night and the award-winning Tarriga Nacional. The new wines will be available for sale in the tasting room and online by mid to late April. Moon Cursor will continue with appointment-only tastings, but will accommodate walk-in customers whenever possible. Because of the expected lower-than-normal yields of 2019, they will have less wine for sale this year than they normally would, and they're encouraging everyone, including the club members, to stock up now rather than later. All the details at mooncursor.com. I so enjoy doing this, friends. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. And we're 13 years down this road, maybe even 14 if I count correctly. Started on the Naramata bench. And one of the people I met early on was Sandra Ofield, co-founder of Elysium Projects. And you knew her for many years. She was the face and voice and the driving force behind Tinhorn Creek. And because... Wow, she has nothing to do and has lots of time on her hands. I've asked her to join me here on the show on about a regular basis, maybe once a month, once every 6 weeks. I try not to bother. I've taken up enough time. Hello, Sandra.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. A couple of things. Are you safe and well? And how does it feel around you these days up there in the Okanagan?
Yeah, I'm good. I just got done with a two-week quarantine in my bedroom. Like, it's bad enough you have to be quarantined in your house, you have to be quarantined in one certain room. So that was interesting, because I had gone down to the States. And so just got done with that. And I'd say the Valley, you know, it's opening up. People are starting to go into... Restaurants are opening up. You know, everyone's masked up. But in the typical... starting up problems with not enough staff and things like that. But they'll get that straightened out in the next little while, I think.
And the wineries, are they talking? Are you hearing talk about opening? Well, some of them are opening soon. I think Arrowleaf opened yesterday or today. What's it going to look? What's the year going to roll out like, do you think?
I think, you know, they'll just pick up where they left off in the late fall. They'll be doing, you know, much more tastings that are... slower, take more time. Of course, you know, you'll need to pay for them, you know, so that you can get your appointment in. So, you know, gone are probably the days of you getting in the car and hitting 10 wineries in a day. But definitely the experience you're getting is, you know, much, much, much more meaningful. And the wineries are certainly happy you're doing it that way, I think.
Sandra Ofield, Elysium Projects, and I don't mean you to give away any trade secrets, but how's it going at Elysium Projects, and what kind of projects are you seeing in this pandemic and this having to do a quick two-step to the left?
Well, I mean, definitely there's a lot of people that are trying to shift more to digital and online, and, you know, for sure that's been in the works for a few years, but COVID has brought it more to the forefront. I had quite a long run at Tinhorn with running the first wine club in the Okanagan, actually in BC. And so, and I've always been pretty active on social media as well as digital. So That's one of the things that they're looking for. Another would be, you know, how do we retain our employees? That definitely, how do we find good employees and how do we retain them? How do we do things differently? Because again, they're finding that it's not always easy when they lose somebody now to fill that place. You know, the workers, as they should be, are getting much more choosy on the type of places that they want to go to. So that means they have to up their game in the HR side of things as well.
Every week, every midweek, you do a BC Wine Chat, hashtag BC Wine Chat. And you put out a note saying, what are we talking about? And bring a bottle of BC wine along with you. So how did the wine chat go? What did people want to talk about?
Yeah, so actually last night we were talking about virtual tastings as well as social media. And it just ended up after 10 years of doing this every Wednesday on Twitter. We just actually came up with the idea last night that probably quarterly we'll do, you know, we'll replace the chat on a Wednesday with a Zoom talk. And, you know, we'll still just hang out for an hour. We could be just talking about one thing in particular, but on this this next one that we're going to do is just going to be bring a bottle of wine and discuss it. So pretty open. Anyone who wants to get the Zoom link can just go on Twitter and message me. And if I'm not following you, I'll follow you back and send you the link and we'll see how it goes. It's, you know, it has been 10 years of hosting this and, you know, I make a wild amount of money on it, you know, crazy. And so, yeah, I figured, you know, why not actually see people's faces a few times out of the year, because our in-person tasting, which we usually do in Vancouver right before the wine festival, was of course canceled this year. So yes. I think it's good to, you know, to at least see the faces of the people that you're chatting with every week.
I don't know. I mean, Vancouver Wine Festival on that scale, you can't do it online. It's just a virtual. It's not gonna. It's crazy.
Right.
You could focus on, you know, the awards and maybe a certain tasting or a region, but
yeah,
it's ginormous.
It is. I mean, I guess my hope was that they were going to do a few things, you know, just to kind of keep it in the public eye, like you say, an awards thing or something like that. But it is difficult for sure. And usually those things end up costing money. It doesn't, you know, end up making you any money. So, you know, I understand that. But yeah, I'm assuming that by next year, timing wise, my hope is they'll be back. But, you know, one of the issues with some of these things that you have to plan is that you have to make those calls so early.
Yep.
You know, and so it's really hard to make a decision like this May or June, what things are going to look like next, you know, next February or March.
That's true. And they just got in under the wire in 2020, like literally within days.
Yeah.
So quite remarkable.
And
of course the Okanagan wine festivals, and there's lots of others that happen in and around harvest. So maybe by that time we might see some light at the end of this tunnel.
Yeah, I do. I run the Fortify conference, which is a business conference for wineries and breweries and distilleries. And that's in November every year. But again, you know, can we do that again, the second time virtual? I don't know, but I have to make up my mind in July. And so, you know, how am I going to feel in July if some people have been, you know, some people have been vaccinated, some have not. And you know, how am I going to feel about doing it? And I think the answer is going to be, we won't do it. Like, you know, we'll do it virtual again.
She is Sandra Ofield, co-founder of Elysian Projects. Always welcome on the show. Always welcome. Frankly, she could host the damn thing. I made a note to myself here because I know that you want to talk about three more women in wine in the Okanagan. And that's great because you've already done one, which took over the entire show, and I loved it. But I made a note here. You said something about women in wine clubs or wine clubs and women. Are you talking about the people who form them and run them or the people who show up for those wine clubs?
I was talking about the people who run them, although, I mean, I'm trying not to be sexist. There certainly are men out here that run wine clubs, but it's definitely one of those areas of the winery that seems to be slanted more towards, you know, females driving it as opposed to males. And so a lot of the, you know, really successful wine clubs I'm seeing out there are being run by some women that are, you know, pretty innovative. They're exploring the digital space in ways that they haven't had to do before. And, you know, it's not just about, you know, it's not anymore just about, you know, sending out an email and packing some boxes. It's, you know, how do you keep them engaged when, you know, they can't visit your winery anymore? So a lot of wineries have started doing, you know, release, you know, when the wines are being released, they're doing virtual tastings. There's definitely a lot more that's going into, you know, getting wineries excited and engaged on social media before the wines are coming out. So, you know, it's not just club-wise anymore. I think the wineries learned last year that clubs are one thing, and then the second thing is just selling wine online.
Yeah.
To people who don't belong to their clubs. And, you know, that's an area that when I was involved at Tinhorn was super tiny. Like, it was just a fraction percent of what we sold there. Most went out through the wine club. But you know, things being what they are, of course, these same women that are, you know, have been hired to do a job to build a club are now also doing a second job, which is, you know, finding a whole new channel for these wineries online. Yeah.
I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but can you give me three wine clubs that are exemplary, that really are solid?
An engagement standpoint, I belong to Hillside. I love what they do there. They do a lot of, before COVID, they were doing a lot of really small, intimate dinners and events, which is one of the reasons why I join a wine club. The second reason why I join usually is due to scarcity, and that's why I belong to Lariana.
Yep.
You know, I love Lariana's wines, and I'm tired of them selling out, so I belong to their wine club for that. Who else do I belong to? Let's see. Well, I belong to Kitsch, and we just talked about them last week. But yep. Again, they're fun. They do a lot of great things. They use their money in smart ways, and I like to support people like that. But I mean, overall, for me, I've leaned, because I know a lot of people in the industry, I lean towards belonging to clubs that are at wineries that I really respect how they treat their employees. And that's key for me now. That's where I'm at.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, would you know something like that? No, but I do. And that's who I choose to spend my dollars with now.
Sure. Okay, this is, again, another two-parter with Sandra Ofield, co-founder of Elysium Projects. We'll be right back. We're going to be talking about her friends, Terry Meyer Stone, Severine Pint, and Leslie D'Andrea, and then one other subject. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. Lots of new wines coming, which is a good thing, since they've sold out of everything but a little bit of Dead of the Night and the award-winning Tarriga Nacional. The new wines will be available for sale in the tasting room and online by mid to late April. Moon Cursor will continue with appointment-only tastings, but will accommodate walk-in customers whenever possible. Because of the expected lower-than-normal yields of 2019, they will have less wine for sale this year than they normally would, and they're encouraging everyone, including the club members, to stock up now rather than later. All the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. And since they've opened the new Crown and Thieves, it's been a glorious, sheer and utter madness. The success has seen them already sell out of four wines, The Scoundrel Punch, Chenin Blanc, Gewürztraminer, and Broken Wing Merlot. But luckily, the latest bottling run has replenished the stock, with new vintages of Winemaker's Wench, Mr. Higginbotham Chardonnay, the new Little Nipper Pinot Gris, and the brand new Pinky Blinders Rosé. And all four will make their first appearances this weekend. The wine club has been selling like crazy. And an obvious benefit is one active membership means you are a VIP at all of their locations. All the details at thehatchwines.com. Sandra Ofield is our guest on Tasting Room Radio, Part 2. could be a four-parter if we kept going. Sandra, I meant to ask you about how are the restaurants transitioning? Are they, do they feel like they're doing the same sort of level as the wineries?
I don't know. I it's all across the board. I certainly know some restaurants that are really struggling, some that have already closed. I know there's some issues with caterers. You know, caterers have not been able to survive with the new rules as much as restaurants have been. So, you know, I know some caterers that are starting to move into some restaurant spaces. So that's good. They'll stay afloat. And then, you know, again, there's some restaurants that are reopening and, you know, they've got, you know, a good following and they'll do well. And in particular, there's one, you know, it is a hard time right now to open up a new restaurant, I would say. But there's a new one in Oliver that's getting a lot of buzz, even in our tiny town. It's called Popolo. And it's doing handmade pastas. And it's wildly popular. And so their only issue right now is, you know, probably finding enough wait staff, right? Because it's early in the year. So. Sure. Kind of across the board, I'd say, all over the place.
Wow. Okay. Now, when I was when I charged you and said, "What do you say? We go back and talk about some of the women in wine." The names that came to mind immediately for you were Terry Meyerstone, Severine Pint, and Leslie D'Andrea. Why those three? I mean, there's lots more you could be talking about. We only have a certain amount of time.
But next time we'll have three more.
So. Okay, so let's start with from the land of three named people, Terry Meyerstone. I know her. Yes. I know her from Garagiste, of course, and we both know her from Mayhem. But she's involved in so many other things.
Yeah, I mean, I know her because I hired her to run the wine club at Tin Horn Creek years ago, and she was the one who took it from, you know, relatively stagnant levels to holy, this is crazy. And we pretty immediately had to hire an assistant for her because she had grown it so fast. So she's always been a mover and shaker. She's a kind-hearted woman. I consider her a good friend of mine. She was very supportive of me when I no longer work at Tin Horn. And now to see her, you know, joining forces with her brother at Meyer Family and coming up with this great new brand, Mayhem. I did a tasting there in the fall, and I was just wowed by the quality of the wines for the prices. So, I mean, for me, I was focused quite a bit on whites at that time.
Yep.
And they have amazing white wine.
Amazing.
You know, $15.95 type prices.
Yeah. I mean, we can get all the reds we want. We can bathe in red wine in the Okanagan. It's the really fine white wines that I go seeking now.
Yeah. And, you know, how often are you bowled over by a Pinot Gris? I mean, Pinot Gris are great wines because they're, you know, they're consistent, but, you know, they don't often wow you. And I was really wowed by their Pinot Gris. I loved it. And their Sauv Blanc as well. So, I mean, I went home with a mixed case from there, and you know, I'm a big believer in what they're doing. So, you know, that's a lot of that is Terry, and you know, some of the people she's hired. She's even hired one of my good friends who, again, also used to work with me at Tin Horn Creek, Zola Dore. So, you know, she's surrounding herself with smart, good people, which is great.
By the way, if I were to attend that next BC Wine Chat and I brought a bottle of BC wine, I would bring the best white wine I've tasted in years from the Okanagan, and that's Anthony Buchanan's Sauv Blanc. Now, yeah. I mean, Sauv Blanc, I mean, you can brush your teeth with Sauv Blanc in some cases, but he's really made his Sauv Blanc come alive. And I'm most impressed with it. So, and then that leads to all the other things that he makes. So that's me.
Well, you should come on the chat next time.
All right.
It's not like you're not invited.
Yeah, and I'm not signing any autographs. Okay, I'm not going to do that. So I'll just speak my mind. Now, it took me years to say the name Severine Pint.
That's right.
Some people say
I let you do it.
Le Vupin. She's a charming woman. I don't know. I haven't seen her in the fields or in the cellar. Is she a charger, or does she take that charm into the cellar as well?
Well, she's just a focused person. She's dedicated to what she does. She, you know, expects big things from her staff, and they seem to give it to her, as far as I can tell. And, you know, it's, again, at the heart of her is a big heart. And so, you know, that comes through with dedication from the staff. And, you know, she and I work on a few committees together, the sustainability committee out here. They're launching a new certification pretty soon for that. And, you know, she's definitely comes from a background of, you know, a real smart, you know, background of research. And so she brings kind of that rigor to the table. You know, it's not just speaking off the cuff. She always has some good things to refer to back in France that, you know, really help lift our industry as well. So, I mean, from my perspective, I mean, she's one of those people that makes white wines as well as red. I can't say that she focuses better on one versus the other, because, you know, my favorite white wine she makes is it's actually her rosé, her Vila rosé. And then her Syrah is unbelievably great.
I'll see your Syrah, yeah, and I'll raise you an Ava.
Yeah, fair enough.
Wow, what a white wine.
Yeah, there's not a lot she makes that's not good. And for sure you pay for it. But I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if you want to start tasting some wines in the Okanagan that are kind of setting the bar, you know, that's one of the wineries I go to.
Le Vupin. And it's beautiful, yeah, as well. Severine Pint. Leslie Dandria, who is just a force at Noble Ridge in Okanagan Falls, where there are no falls. She is constantly updating her web page. I know that for a fact because she supports Mulligan Stew on CKUA Radio. She actually advertises in Alberta, where she came from. And she believes in that. She believes in talking directly to that audience and saying, I know you're music people, but we're a winery. We're in the Okanagan. We're Okanagan Falls, and we are open and ready to go. And I credit her for that. She just thinks differently, and I like the way she thinks, she and her husband.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's been behind a lot of great things to happen in Okanagan Falls. She was one of the big people to support them getting their own sub-appellations that they can put on the bottle, the Okanagan Falls sub-appellation. She works quite a bit with their, with their winery association as well. So, you know, I always tend to gravitate towards wineries that work well with their neighboring wineries, because, you know, that's really the only way we're going to excel here. And then, you know, on a personal note, she's been quite supportive of me and my career and vice versa. So, you know, I followed her for a while, but then we became pretty good friends in the last 3 or 4 years. And, you know, and that's when I've done some of the tastings. I sat down and did a really nice high-end tasting, lead tasting when COVID started. It possibly may have been before COVID, but anyway, it was a great tasting off on, you know, a side room with only like six of us, which, you know, was really special, and you're overlooking the vineyard. And then of course, you know, my favorites, I mean, the bubbly they do there, the one is great, but still, and of course, got a great review of 99 points. Yes, exactly. But my favorite is still the Chardonnay. They have a couple, and I love their Chardonnay. Okay. So, you know, that's kind of my focus there.
Let me tell you the first story I told her and how I found Noble Ridge. We used to go every 6 months when we lived up there. We would go for dinner for steak at that wonderful old building, the south end of Penticton. It's probably still there, but it was one of the original restaurants. And I said, I'm going to have this steak, and I think I'll have a. And the waiter said, You're going to have the Pinot from Noble Ridge. Noble Ridge. I never met the guy. I never met the waiter. He just said, no, you're going to have the Noble Ridge Pinot. Okay, fine, sure, okay. And that's how I became a fan of the Pinot Noir from Noble Ridge and Leslie.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was happy to hear that you talk about their website, because that has been, you know, one of the things that's been shining pretty clearly in the last few months is the wineries that are putting work towards their website and keeping them updated, and the wineries that aren't. Yep. And, you know, you can do social media really well and you can bring people into your website, but then once they get there, your website has to be current and relevant, right? And quite often I think the wineries forget, you know, they spend a lot of their time on email campaigns and things like that, but they forget that the website is so important. So, you know, it goes hand in hand with her focus on, like you say, talking to the end consumer. You have to have a good website to do that.
Well, thank you for Terry Meyerstone, Severine Pint, and Leslie Dondria. So next time you have your next list, just let me know and we'll do this again. Because
It's just never ending.
I have left this last question and observation for the end of our conversation, and that is the posting you did about the loss of your father.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's weird to post. Don't you think it's an odd thing to do a posting when your father dies?
Well, it's not weird. Well, some people just can't talk about it, and some people can. And you went pages on your father, but each story led one to the other because you had so much to talk about. And you were very...
Well, I'll tell you why I had that much information on the day that he died, which was still relatively... a surprise to me. I kind of thought he was going to be holding in there for another month or so. And so I had driven 16 hours alone in a car down to California and to visit him before he died, and then 16 hours home in a snowstorm, you know, back in the car alone. And so I had 32 hours in a car reminiscing in my head about all these different things we had done together, he had done for me. And so I had my iPhone with me, and I was just voice recording some of those things on the way home. He ended up dying 3 days later. So for me to write that blog post just came out as one sitting in about 45 minutes. And it was just from me listening to, you know, my thoughts that I had on the way down. That's why it was all right there.
Your father gave you your parents gave you the 57 DeSoto that they had.
Yes.
That car didn't make that journey, did it?
Oh, the car is sitting like 100 feet away from me right now. It's so amazing. But no, it did not make this recent journey. And he would not have been able to have seen it anyway. So but yeah, no, it's a great car, and I have a feeling that I should probably be starting a new business with wine touring in it, because you know, I could take people around. I'm not sure if anyone would want me to take them around to wineries, but I could certainly do that. And the trunk itself holds like easily 15 cases of wine, easily.
Sure.
I mean, it's amazing. It's
okay.
A huge
car. Oh man. You can read about Sandra's father. All about his life and great photos in Oldfield's Wanderings. Just go looking for it. Just Google it. That's all.
It's sandraoldfield.com.
Okay. Thank you for doing this. You know that.
Sure. Thanks so much for calling me.
Don't forget to see Nomadland. Wonderful film.
I will. I'm on it.
I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. And since they've opened the new Crown and Thieves, it's been a glorious, sheer and utter madness. The success has seen them already sell out of four wines, The Scoundrel Punch, Chenin Blanc, Gewurztraminer, and Broken Wing Merlot. But luckily, the latest bottling run has replenished the stock with new vintages of Winemaker's Wench, Mr. Higginbotham Chardonnay, the new Little Nipper Pinot Gris, and the brand new Pinky Blinders Rosé. And all four will make their first appearances this weekend. The wine club has been selling like crazy, and an obvious benefit is, One active membership means you are a VIP at all of their locations. All the details at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. Spring bottling date is fast approaching. They're very excited about their white wine spring release, Pinot Gris The Shining Armor. Always a crowd favorite. Recent winner of a gold medal at the Okanagan Best of Varietal Awards. That new release is going to be one of the hits of the summer. And of course, their crowd favorite, Tempest Ortega. Just a note that a couple of mix and match sales are on. They're slowly opening the tasting room up. Currently Wednesday to Saturday, 12 to 4. Starting in April, it'll expand to 5 days a week from 10 to 5, and live music will start in April, Saturdays only. You can find all the details at EnricoWinery.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. I'm talking to Evan Saunders, the winemaker at Blasted Church. And Evan, we've been talking to Sandra Ofield, just about all things Sandra, all the things that she's doing, plans for 2021. It was a really good conversation. Then we come straight across the valley to you guys up on that plateau at Blasted Church, south of Penticton. Welcome back to the show. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Good to be on.
And what does 2021 look like for you guys as you roll out?
Yeah, everyone masked up and the temperature checks and the questionnaires when, the staff come in through the door. So it's, that feels normal now almost, which is kind of a crazy thing. Never thought that would ever get used to this, but it's, everyone sort of figured it out how it works and how you go about your day. And 2021's looking promising. Everything coming onto the horizon, the weather starting to turn, which is always a nice feeling. You get to spend a little bit more time outdoors. I'm hopefully optimistic for 2021.
2020, was it crazy there for you?
It was kind of looking back over the year, over the last few weeks at the year that stretched on forever, and just the number of things we had. We almost burned to the ground in the Christie Mountain fire, so that was that was pretty exciting, and we're kind of a testament to the difficulties of the year that isn't even the first thing that comes to mind, or even the fifth thing that comes to mind over the course of the last 12 months. But it's it was tough. It was tough for everybody, but make it through, and looking forward to some easier days.
All right, Evan Saunders, winemaker at Blasted Church, just south of Penticton, right? Hanging up on that, you can't miss this winery. Well, frankly, you shouldn't, and you should visit them. Have you been doing virtual tastings, and how are the online events happening?
It's we've done a couple of virtual tastings, have a few more. It seems to be, obviously, the avenue kept speaking. So it's been fun, actually. It's a little hesitant for the first one or two of them, not really knowing how it was going to go, but it's actually been just through Zoom. So it's been a great way to kind of reach out. You can have a couple hundred people on the tastings, and kind of a great way to reach out to a lot of people directly in their homes. Everybody's comfortable, wine's on deck. So it's been good, I guess, something that, we'll certainly keep doing going forward. It's a nice way to kind of connect without having to even travel. Everyone, with the comfort of your own living room, you can build quite the connection.
Hey, Evan, when you were taking your winemaking training, did they ever give you a class in how to work television cameras and work like you were a game show host?
Absolutely not. So that is the several panicked calls just beforehand, just trying to test everything, make sure my volume's up, make sure my camera's on, my lighting is good. It was like so many other things, I guess, in wine. There's a lot more behind the scenes that goes on than you ever would expect, but it's finally starting to get comfortable with it all.
And I think the value of wine clubs has been shown here in the last year.
Yeah, the direct to consumer, the wine clubs, all that sort of things. So it's a busy industry out here. There's hundreds of wineries, so it's being able to have that direct base to reach out to contact. They're the ones who have been keeping keeping us alive, keeping us operational. So it's sure. Absolutely the value of the direct consumer, the wine club being the first and foremost of that has been a good value add, a good lesson for everybody, and just how important that avenue is.
Thank you, Evan, for doing that. So Evan Saunders, a winemaker at Blasted Church, there are two wines that came my way. And when I get great red wine, well, any wine, when I get two great wines placed in front of me, I am compelled, my friends, on your behalf, to consume those wines and write some notes and tell you about them. It's great fun. It's fantastic fun, actually. The Merlot, the 2017 Merlot, 89% Merlot and 11% Malbec. This is a beaut.
I love Merlot. As unpopular of an opinion that can be in some circles, it's still something that I'll proudly hang my hat on for the Okanagan for the rest of my career here. It's just a wonderful grape, and throw some Malbec into the blend as well. It's they get along so well, obviously, from their inception from over in Bordeaux. Obviously, they're a team, but I find Merlot, Malbec, Okanagan, the Malbec for this one came from the Semilk mean, actually, but brings a wonderful kind of wholeness to the wine.
Hey, Evan, tell me in the blending of that wine, we've all seen 50-50, 60-40, 75-35, or 25, rather. What is it at those levels, Merlot 89%, Malbec 11%, what is the Malbec bringing? Is it a nose you're looking for? What are you looking for there?
So that fruit in particular, the Malbec from Mariposa Vineyard and the Semilk mean, it's Malbec unlike anything I've worked with before. So it has that fruit. It's not find a lot of Malbec can just be kind of like just dusty blueberries. Now that I've said that, it's going to be stuck in your head anytime you taste the Malbec. But that one brings the blue fruit, but it also has just like a crushed violet to it. So it just brings that extra complexity, the floral note. And it also has this vineyard in particular really hold the acid. So it brings like a attention to the Merlot. It's a really nice counterpoint to really keep it fresh, keep it balanced.
So really what it does is it explains, first of all, the balanced finish, the beautiful lengthy finish that goes with it. And it also tells me that if I can just not open this wine for a couple of years, give it a chance to find itself in the bottle, it's such a huge payoff.
Yes, absolutely. It's as with so many wines, it's the stats are there with how quickly they are consumed. But if you can find it in you to put it, just hide a few bottles downstairs for a little while, it will definitely continue to improve for the next 5 years for sure.
And the rule is going to be challenged there, and that is that if you buy six, hide four of them on yourself. Give them to your wife or your partner. Put them away somewhere. Give them to Uncle Fred. But drink the two and enjoy, and then just go looking a couple of years from now for where did I put those four bottles of wine? 874 cases. Well done. Alcohol is 13.9%. Now I didn't ask you to prep for this, but do you know what the price point is, Evan?
$27 for that one.
All right. Let me just write that down here. I like that. So that you want to know that. That is the Blasted Church Merlot 2017. 89% Merlot, 11% Malbec. It is beautiful. It's $27, and there's some 800 cases, so there. It's around. Just go looking for it. The Evan Saunders, by the way, is the guest on Tasting Room Radio. He's the winemaker at Blasted Church. We're going to tease you with a couple of releases that are coming, and we'll just touch on them because I haven't had a chance to taste them yet. But I am thrilled to say that the 2017 Syrah is available. And here's the blend that I love. The Syrah is 94%. The Viognier is 3%. The Roussan is 3%. This is classic Syrah. And I love the fact that you took the time to add the components, the Viognier and the Roussan.
Yes, I love what they bring in the co-fermentation. So this one was actually just the Roussan and the Viognier both destemmed directly with the Syrah into tank. On skins, everything in tank together, so it wasn't just kind of the the press off and then add the dried skins of the whites. I wanted the whole berries to go in with it. It brings that lovely, fixes the color nicely and all of that, but it also brings that lovely floral and kind of broadens the palate with the Roussan. It's small amounts go a very long way in that one.
How long on skins?
Varies based on tank, but usually kind of that 21 day, 18 to 21, and then some push a little bit further, but never for Syrah, usually I don't go too far past 28 days.
And oak. Now, sometimes oak just passes me, but it doesn't get my attention. This one got my attention. It's almost like a Rapasso kind of thing. There's a dimension to the oak that I absolutely loved. What'd you do?
So that one, the Syrah's kind of been a wine that I've been, I started my career at Assoyes Larose, so I had a comfort level with the Bordeaux red. So Syrah's been, over the last several years, kind of a good learning experience. So for that, for the 2017, dialed way back on the new oak and went with a lot more second, third, fourth, and predominantly neutral oak on that one, just to, so you get the dimension that you're speaking of in the kind of softening the micro ox from the barrel without the actual over oakiness. So for that wine, I think it worked really well. And subsequent years, I've dialed it up, dialed it back, just to kind of see exactly where we can get and what the profile is that we want. But with the more neutral, you kind of get that more, I guess, you get the finesse, you get the elegance, you get that more of the floral coming through without any of the overt oak aromatics.
You sent me a note that said the barrel, it was a barrel aged for 14 months and then racked, tank, blended, and put back into barrel for an additional 4 months. So it got its fair share of the oak. And I love the Hungarian oak in there as well. You're always going to get blackberry and blueberry, like that dark, rich red fruit. It's the bacon that kills me.
Yes.
It's such a beautiful, expressive wine when supported like this. It's, and the finish, again, the finish is fantastic. You must be very happy with this wine.
Yes, that one's been a lot of fun to follow along. 2017's in general, it was a year where, you know, we're not surprised now that the wines are good. The fruit coming in had, you know, great ripeness, great balance, yep. Kind of smaller crop, smaller berry, but it's that wine. It's, and all the wines have been a lot of fun as they come up and start, you know, going through the tasting room and out for sale and all that sort of stuff. Kind of seeing them and tasting them through their life. Quite pleased with where it's at now.
Hey Evan, what's the price point?
$29.50.
Nicely done. Under 30,
yeah,
$30. By the way, I want to go back just for a second and just touch on a pairing with the Merlot, first of all. I know that steaks are always going to be in there, and I would imagine pasta. Anything else? So
I'm going to go burgers.
Burgers? Ah, yes.
Burgers on the grill. I think Merlot is such, that's why I love it. It's, you know, getting into the warmer season out there. I want to be outside. I want to be around the barbecue. I want to, you know, outdoor meals and everything. Okay. And Merlot will, so flexible, it'll work there. Okay. It'll work.
Take it easy. I haven't had lunch yet. Take it easy. Just a minute. Let me get to the Syrah for a second for $29.50. I roast lamb, of course, grilled chicken, certain cheeses, the hard ones. You guys recommend duck confit. What's the matter with burgers?
Syrah and barbecue, once again, with that bacon note, creaminess that Syrah has, absolutely anything that you want to pull off the barbecue at this point, even, you know, it'll fill in for a bold Pinot with some barbecued salmon, even if you were looking at that.
I got it. Wait a minute. How much, everybody, I mean, all of a sudden we're in the golden age of sausages, like really good sausages that are a meal. This is sausage wine,
yes.
Right?
Absolutely, 100%. That would be a great thing. Keep it simple is always the best answer.
Okay, now here's what we're going to do. You didn't know this, but you're going to finish off the show today. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to tease you with some of the releases that are coming. I didn't ask him for permission. I'm just doing this. This is Evan Saunders, who's the winemaker at Blasted Church in the Okanagan Valley. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. Spring bottling date is fast approaching. They're very excited about their white wine spring release, Pinot Gris The Shining Armor. Always a crowd favorite, recent winner of a gold medal at the Okanagan Best of Varietal Awards. That new release is going to be one of the hits of the summer. And of course, their crowd favorite, Tempest Ortega. Just a note that a couple of mix and match sales are on. They're slowly opening the tasting room up, currently Wednesday to Saturday, 12 to 4. Starting in April, it'll expand to 5 days a week from 10 to 5, and live music will start in April, Saturdays only. You can find all the details at EnricoWinery.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. Preparations are underway in the wine shop and the tasting room for the 2021 season. The winery reopens March the 17th. The bistro reopens March the 18th. There's still complimentary shipping on all online orders of 6 or more bottles. Check out the 2013 Joa Vineyard Merlot, which received 90 points. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. We're talking Blasted Church on Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. The reason why we're talking Blasted Church is because we have Evan Saunders on his lunch break. He's the winemaker at Blasted Church. There's a sandwich somewhere within easy reach. If I just stop talking, we'll get him to his lunch. Evan, I just wanted to tease some of the wines that are coming from Blasted Church. And literally, we're not talking about the whites yet, which will show up early summer. But let's talk about, for example, the 2018s, the Cab Franc.
Yes, it was 2018 was kind of the first so far in a series of not kind of more challenging vintages, I guess. We had a kind of the run from 2012 through 2017 where things were pretty textbook, and then 2018 we started getting a little bit of a more difficult vintage. So those wines going down the barrel obviously have a little more trepidation than in some other years, but just starting to roll into the release of some of the 2018 reds now, and the Cab Franc was the one of the first ones to make that turn. And so obviously I'm having more exposure to it now, and it's a beautiful wine. The 2018s have kind of the almost turned like the holy grails of wines. You have that beautiful balance and kind of elegance, but concentration. It's kind of a very exciting thing to see as they start coming out after their, you know, their 18 or 20 months in barrel, then off to bottle for another year and a half. So now it's nice to see them even at this young age showing the character that they're showing.
Oh, nice. I love Cab Franc. How many cases how hard do we have to chase?
That one you're going to have to chase a little bit, just a couple hundred cases of that. So just a smaller run. Didn't have a lot of Cab Franc to work with in 2018. So that's just all we have.
Okay. Now the rosé. It's funny talking about rosé in March, but you know what? It's right around the corner. And for some of us, I don't know about you, but for the Mulligans, we're rosé drinkers year round. There is no off season with rosé with us. But you have an interesting story behind your rosé. Go ahead and fire it off.
Yeah, so we have an estate block of Blau Frankisch that planted with the original planting, so getting up to almost the 30-year age now, but never used to find a home in a few different wines. Has kind of moved around a little bit, but decided to just keep it all this year and going forward for rosé production. It's a grape that holds acidity very well. It does. It stays at a nice low sugar content even through the evolution, through the harvest period. So you can pick it quite late, great flavor.
We're talking dry, right?
Oh, yeah.
Bone dry.
Bone dry. So it's, so it was started off half at whole cluster press, the other half destemmed straight to press, and pressed off immediately just to get a little bit of that character. But it is a grape with a lot of color. So,
okay.
Well, I wasn't concerned about the palest of pale rosés, still keeping within within the style that I was going for, not too dark either.
Okay, well, there's the deal. Because when's the last time when's the last time you stood at the cold wine coolers in one of your favorite liquor stores and listened to the conversation about the rosés? And mostly when I'm in there, I never see guys talking about it. It's always the ladies. And they're always talking about the color. They're not even talking about the label or what the grape was or whatever. They're looking at color, and they buy on color, which is not a bad thing because that's how you discover new wines, etc. Did you guys talk about the color of this rosé before you came down and decided that that's what it was?
I had input from a lot of sides, whether that was that input was heated or not. is a different conversation, but it's I had an idea in my mind where I wanted it to be. I still wanted to get the profile with the mouthfeel and the texture and the aromatics that the skins, a little bit of skin contact can bring.
Is it Provence light opaque, or is it Tavel darker red, or somewhere in the middle?
Tavel darker red. Okay. I'd say probably a Tavel darker red, somewhere in the middle. Maybe not. It's not not terribly dark, but it's certainly not the palest of the pale.
Does it indicate a great food rosé?
It absolutely does. So it was both components were fermented separately and then have since been blended together, but started off in stainless and then went down to barrel, so French oak, all second, third, and fourth fill, and finished off fermentation and aging in barrel for about 4 months. So it has a great texture, great acidity, so it will pair incredibly well with food. It is also a wine that will be quite happily drunk on its own, under 13% alcohol, so it's nice and light and lively.
What's the price point on the Cab Franc, do you know?
That one is 30.
And the one on the rosé? The rosé, most important.
20.
Ah, now you're talking. Now you're talking. With a Stelvin screw cap?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Stelvin, yep.
Okay, fine. He is Evan Saunders. We're throwing him under the bus with some of these questions. I'm sorry. He's the winemaker at Blasted Church. You talked about Wild and Wonderful, and you mentioned a couple of releases that are coming this spring.
Yeah, so we have a little bit of Refosco coming, so kind of a northern Italian red. So that's a BC widely known or widely planted grape. It might actually be the only planting of it in the entire province, just from a little vineyard up in the Similkameen. Kept, pretty simple. Once again, when that one comes through, it'll be, it is a great barbecue wine, Refosco. It has that spiciness, that red fruit, kind of Pinot reminiscent. Yeah, but it's has a wonderful, wonderful character to it. So looking forward to getting that one into bottle and getting that one out.
Are you guys going to let us have that Nebbiolo?
Yes, that'll go into bottle probably on the very same day as the Refosco. So that one was a really weird and wonderful. So Nebbiolo, another grape not too commonly seen around these parts, destemmed into clay amphora for 3 months on skins and then drained and pressed to barrel for another 16 months. So it's got quite the story behind it, even before we get it into a glass. But it has that. Nebbiolo is a grape that is always said doesn't travel very well outside of Italy, but it's kind of quite happy, quite impressed with what it has. That beautiful floral, but tar as Nebbiolo as it has. It's such a interesting grape that has been a lot of fun to work with,
and gets more interesting the longer you leave it in that bottle. I like that. I like that. Just holding on to that. And the Raposo as well. All right, so the whites are coming early summer. What's leading the charge?
The 2020 white are looking great. The Pinot Gris is that classic, for me, classic Skaha bench Pinot Gris. Great orchard fruits to pair, the green apple, I don't know, it's the lemon, and on down through the laundry list, but with that great texture, the Gewurz as well. Viognier is another good year, 2020 for Viognier. So it has on the balanced but right overall quite excited for the 2020s.
It's lunchtime, Evan. You can go and have your lunch now. You've done your due diligence. You did really, really, really well, and people were making notes, me included. We'll follow the down the road with Blessed Church this year, 2021. Who knows what's going to happen this year? But we do wish one thing: A, that everybody washes their hands and wears a mask and is safe and well, and two, that the fires stay out. Right.
100%, yes. Absolutely.
All right, what's the website of Blasted Church?
Just blastedchurch.com.
You guys are busy on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram?
Yep, everyone's keeping those platforms updated and rolling, especially with the sale on now, letting everybody know what's going on.
And when is the next virtual tasting session where you become a game show host?
Oh, I think have something out with an Edmonton group coming up in the next couple of weeks, and after that we'll see.
Wait a minute, an Edmonton group? They're in Edmonton and you're at Blasted Church?
That's it.
Could you mention my name?
I can give you a shout out. You bet.
Thank you very much, because they're my listeners in Alberta. You got to say hello. Thank you very much, Evan. Thank you for doing this. Much appreciated. Have yourself a great year.
Thank you. You too.
Evan Saunders, winemaker, Blasted Church. And that has been Tasting Room Radio. My thanks to Sandra Ofield, Evan Saunders, and you. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. Preparations are underway in the wine shop and the tasting room for the 2021 season. The winery reopens March the 17th. The bistro reopens March the 18th. There's still complimentary shipping on all online orders of six or more bottles. Check out the 2013 Joa Vineyard Merlot, which received 90 points. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca.